Over the last season, we've been walking through the Beatitudes. They were short sayings of Jesus, things that he preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And when I look at our society and our culture around us, have you noticed this? The values are changing. The things that were important 3 years ago, 5 years ago, are now different. They've been talking about things for a long time, but the values of society have been changing rapidly. And they're in such contrast with Christian values. The prospect of being persecuted for your faith is becoming more and more of a reality each day. So in a few moments, we're going to break into our small groups, and we're going to talk about this. And here's what I want you to talk about. If you separate your chairs, break into groups of 6 or 8 people, here's the question for this morning. How would you define the word persecution? And have you ever personally experienced persecution? What was it like? So go for it right now. Break into your small groups, break into little groups, and talk about this. Well, if I could get your attention back up here. Welcome to our last week in the Beatitudes. This is the last one of these short sayings from Jesus. And listen, you made it, right? Like, we've been 8 weeks in this. And I don't know if you were here for all 8 of them or just 5 or 6, but congratulations, you've stuck to it. You are now well versed in the Beatitudes that Jesus taught us. And we've been looking at these 8 short sayings. They're found in the book of Matthew chapter 5. So if you wanted to open your Bible there, you get a quick review. There, it doesn't take long to read through it. Matthew chapter 5. We've talked about how all of these statements are sort of upside down, right? Where the world says, blessed are the strong. Then Jesus says, blessed are the meek. And the world says, blessed are the rich because they can afford to buy their way out of trouble. Jesus says, blessed are the poor. And the one we're going to be looking at today might be the most upside down of all of these statements. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when they insult you, when they say lies about you for my name and for the sake of justice. Blessed are you because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of God. You belong to the family of God. See, with the very first of these Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit because they will receive the kingdom of God. And here at the last one, at the last of these sayings, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted and insulted and lied about because yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is this new community. Yours is this place to belong. And the reality is because Jesus himself, because of these beliefs, was killed. He was crucified. Almost all of his disciples were persecuted and killed. All through history, Christians have been persecuted in various ways. And Jesus sees this. He sees it happening. And he sees it about to happen. He sees it happen in the future. And when Jesus looks at all of this, he says, good news. It's okay. You're in a good place when you're persecuted. Now, Jesus isn't saying, let's go and try and be persecuted. Or to say that like we need to pretend like we're being persecuted even when we're not being persecuted. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that it will happen. Persecution will come, and when you are blessed. And the reason you're blessed is because you're from the kingdom of heaven. You're in the family of God. You've already found what life is about. You have that purpose and that reason and that community. Blessed are the persecuted. This idea of being persecuted is heavy. Like if we really think about it, it's a subject that's kind of somber thinking about being persecuted for your faith. But I think it's a teaching that we all need to hear. It's not that we want to be persecuted by any means. But as we look at the change in culture over the last season, we know it's a possibility. And And I don't want you, I don't want myself to be unprepared for life when persecution comes. That's why Jesus addresses it. And so I think this is why it's important for us to teach the whole counsel of Scripture. Even the parts that we don't necessarily want to hear sometimes. Those are the things that we probably need to hear the most. Amen? So let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, and let's read it. Matthew 5, 11. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Like, what? You read that? Be happy about it. It says, be very glad. In case you didn't understand me when I said be happy about it, for great is a reward that awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Wow. Like that is an upside down statement. So through much of church history, Christians have been persecuted for their faith. Like if we were to look back, you can go back to the days of the Roman Empire, and the Roman Emperor Decius, he required the Romans to sacrifice publicly to the Roman gods. And the Christians who refused, they were arrested and tortured and killed for their faith. They had to open their sermons, their services, their church gatherings with a praise to Caesar. And if they refused, they were rounded up and often killed. Well, Muhammad, he killed Christians who refused to convert to Islam in the 7th century. In the Ottoman Empire, they slaughtered Christians by the millions. In the 16th century, during the French Revolution, tens of thousands of Christians were killed. In the late 17th century, the Chinese government banned Christianity and killed an untold number of missionaries and Christians. And they killed an untold number, well, thousands were killed in India, refusing to convert to Islam. The emperor of Japan killed tens of thousands of people who had converted to Christianity. And in the early 1900s, after the revolution in Russia, historians say that the government killed about 500,000. Even the Orthodox Christians were not released from this. And today, worldwide, Christians, numerically, they're the most persecuted people group on earth. In fact, if you were to go to Open Doors, they're a research group that studies and gives and supports to persecuted Christians. And they report that 360 million, did you hear that? 360 million Christians suffer at least high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. Now, here are the countries with the highest level of persecution. And I know it won't surprise you, but I want to remind us of this. North Korea is number one. And then you have Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and Pakistan. And statistically, we know that 6 out of 7 Christians persecuted in these countries are persecuted by Islamic oppression and organizations who sometimes kidnap and rape and bomb churches and kill people that they consider to be infidels. One of the most conservative, verifiable numbers I could find says that an estimated 11 Christians die every year globally, or every day globally. 11 Christians every day, just for their faith. In 2022, this is last year's statistics, 5,898 were killed for their faith. Almost 6,000 people were killed because they believe in Jesus, and specifically being a Christian. 5,259 were detained on top of that, arrested without trial for no reason other than their faith. So persecution is real. Christians are the most persecuted people group in the world. And as Canadians, we've been largely isolated from this because Canada was a country that was founded on Christian values, and for a large portion of our history, Christians were the dominant majority in our nation. And although Christianity influences a lot of Canadian life, it's lost its place as the dominant force. And maybe you're sitting there and you haven't faced persecution. But I want you to know that just because you haven't, it doesn't mean that you won't. That day could come. It probably will come sooner than we think. And church, I want you to be prepared for that. I want you to be ready. We're living in a day when Canadian Christians are beginning to experience persecution because of their beliefs, because of their faith in Jesus. And I'm not talking about, you know, Starbucks dropped the Christmas cup. Like that's not the persecution I'm talking about. I'm talking about, well, Canada has become a very secularized nation. And in that secularization, they have said, there is no God unless we are God. And when we view different than that, persecution will come. Sometimes it's just that awkward conversation where you walk into the room and they know you're a Christian, so the silence just happens. Sometimes it's being made fun of, maybe to your face, maybe not to your face, maybe being harassed. And sometimes we see, especially in the public field, Christians are being attacked with lawsuits or even physically. Like we know reports where there is no security for those who believe in Jesus, but there's great security for those who don't, conveniently. In a lot of your work environments where if you shared your faith, you shared your beliefs and what the Bible says, then you would be reported to HR. You could possibly lose your job and be fired for talking about Jesus. Today in Canada, that is a reality. Lisa has a close friend, and she trained to be a nurse. And when she was doing her practicum, she was told, never, ever, ever share your faith. That is not acceptable in this environment. And she came to me and she asked me, David, what do you do about this? Like, I'm a strong believer. And my response was, Jesus is there to protect you or to let them have you. He will be with you either way. So when they tell you no as a nurse, you cannot share your faith, they are speaking where they do not belong. Because we're kingdom of heaven. We're ambassadors for Jesus. And we follow his rules. We have diplomatic immunity in our workplaces. And that might cause us to get in trouble. Church, don't back down. Live for it. One poll I read, it was a political poll, not a religious one, but it said 77% of Christian conservatives feel they could not share what they believe openly without fear of reprisal. And interestingly, a majority of liberals said they felt comfortable sharing whatever their beliefs were without any fear. So 77% of conservative Christians are terrified, and yet the majority of Christian liberals do not have any fear of sharing what they believe. This tells you that our country has shifted away from Christian values, and the things that we see will only get worse. I hope not. I pray that they don't, but they could. There's atheist groups now that lobby the government. There's a group called Freedom from Religion. And there's a second group, the Secular Coalition, that want to remove any sign of God from the public landscape. Right now, they're in negotiations with the British Columbia government on changing the building, the legislature building, because there's scripture carved into the stonework. They want the church to pay taxes on your giving after you've already paid taxes on your earning. They don't stop there. What they really want is to remove God from every part of society. And these groups are running for office, and they're endorsing politicians, and they're bringing in lawsuits all over our country. And they do it in the name of all of these wonderful things like diversity and acceptance. And we all see through it. It It's not about diversity or acceptance. It's against Jesus. You see it in the news. You can have a conversation about God with anybody. All of the pundits are willing to jump in. But as soon as someone mentions Jesus, then they all turn. But how can you separate Jesus from God? Because he is God. The thing is, if you really follow Jesus and you believe the word of God, at some points you will experience some type of persecution. And that's why we're talking about it today. Jesus said it in John 16, verse 1. He says, I have told you those things so you won't abandon your faith. Jesus talked about persecution so that you won't abandon your faith. So that you are willing to face it. And people have asked me, wonderful, wonderful believers, they've asked me, can a Christian lose his salvation? And as I think about it, as I dig into it, I don't know if you can lose your salvation. I think, though, that there are some who could abandon it. And that's not what God wants. So today we're going to prepare for that. I hope that we never face persecution. I hope that you never experience any of this, but the thing that concerns me more than persecution is that someday if you did face it, you would not be prepared for it. And so today we're going to study with the Word of God so that we can be prepared. Well, one of the things I've noticed, especially over the last decade, is this kind of indifference or that kind of lack of curiosity that the modern Canadian culture has shifted. And it's shifted to being more hostile. Like maybe you felt this. Maybe you experienced this for some of you yourselves. Like I've gone to, you know, neighborhood parties and 10, 15 years ago, they'd be like, oh, what do you do for a living? And I'd be like, oh, I'm a pastor. And they'd be like, I'm going to get another drink. But now it's a little different. Now, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. And there's something muttered under their breath. And they don't go and get a drink, and they don't politely step out. They go have a conversation with someone else, and they continue the negative rhetoric. There's been a change. There seems to be a little bit more hostility in the language. There seems to be a belief that you and I are a barrier to progress. Like what we believe and what we value and how we live our lives is somehow stopping the inevitable progression of humanity to the utopian ideals. In most of our communities, and I don't think anybody's getting arrested right now. I don't see people being thrown in prison for their faith. Nobody's being murdered or beaten, but there's this kind of acidity in the air when people talk about Christianity. And you can sometimes hear them creating straw men or misrepresenting what we actually believe. We've been called bigots and classified as those who hate specific people or hate specific ideologies. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at when he in the very last beatitude says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus doesn't stop there, just blessed for righteousness' sake. He starts by saying, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And I love that. You're not being persecuted because you're a jerk. Right? You're not that. You're not being persecuted because you're overly zealous about peacemaking or you're dogmatically dogmatic. Like you lacked tact. That's not why we're being persecuted. This is for the sake of righteousness. That you and I live for that right relatedness that we talked about a few weeks ago. And in so doing, you were persecuted. The world sees us as a barrier to progress. That you were in the way towards that utopian vision and then bore the brunt of their anger towards being a hurdle or some sort of wall towards that goal of perfection self-achieved. And Jesus goes on to expand it in the very next verse. It actually becomes like a double beatitude, two blessings, where he moves from the pronoun they to the pronoun you. And I think this is a powerful moment as Jesus begins to move away from, you know, the general and the bigger crowd to blessed are you. You personally are blessed. It's not the they, blessed are they, it's blessed are you and I. It's us. We're blessed. And then he starts to talk about what we might experience when we're slandered, when we're despised, when we're misrepresented, when you are hated. And then he adds on to it, on account of me. So Jesus doubles down here. You're not being persecuted for anything other than him, other than Jesus. Because of righteousness, any kind of persecution that falls outside of those parameters, it's not the kind of persecution that Jesus is blessing here. But rather, he's blessing when we live the kind of life he wants to live, and in response to that experience, animosity from the world. The reality is all Christians are going to experience at various levels persecution in the world. If you remember all the way back to our first week talking about this, we said the whole foundation of the Beatitudes was that the kingdom of God has come. We spent every Sunday fun day, all fall, all winter talking about it. The kingdom of God is here. And that means that darkness has been invaded in its being. It's being destroyed. It's been pushed back. And this is why later Jesus would say that he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Right, think about it. I'm sure you've heard it, but the gates are not offensive weapons. They're defensive weapons. It's darkness that's on its heels. It's demonic evil that's in trouble. It's that's being assaulted by the good news of the gospel. And so as you and I live out, our faith embrace the gospel, walking in a way that values righteousness, that lives righteousness, that proclaims righteousness, that operates in righteousness. We can expect to experience from the world hostility. Let me try to explain why, because it'll give us some insight into it. And then I want to talk about how we're going to endure that. The first reason that the world is going to see us as a hurdle is because we are righteous. We seek right relationship. And this means in a very real way that our very presence, just being in the room, exposes darkness. When we show up in a place that's ugly and evil is exposed just by the goodness of Christ in how he's marked us as his people, and this can be very well experienced as a threat. And I know, I'm sure you've experienced it. I remember going to some family member's house that aren't following Jesus, and you don't say a thing, and they're already on their guard and grumpy at you. And how can you be pushing your beliefs and you haven't even started a conversation? Just your presence, that righteousness we carry. Now, the number of Christians I know that didn't even say anything, but they were just there, interpreted as hostility towards those who want to be their own God, want to build societies and systems and businesses and neighborhoods and families without God. They can see those who are serious about righteousness just as a threat to their own little kingdoms. So it's not even that we've done anything other than show up. And so that's the first reason. The second reason that you and I can expect hostility is when we actually do righteousness. Not just carry righteousness, but we do righteousness. If we look at Jesus, because he's a good example, right? If we look at his life, he's always like bringing the wrong people to the party. He's doing this kingdom stuff that he's talking about. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's oftentimes doing the kingdom work. Him doing righteousness has a cost for those who are gaining from unrighteousness. And this is the second reason why you and I can expect some persecution. As we do righteousness, Not only is unrighteousness exposed just by our presence, but we will oftentimes cost people who have gained either material gains or power gains or financial gains, we will cost them that simply by doing righteousness. We see it in the story of Acts where the apostles cast out the demon from the slave girl, and their owners were like, "You've wrecked our business by freeing this woman. We will go bankrupt. You must leave our community." And lastly, we're going to experience persecution because we speak righteousness. We carry righteousness, we do righteousness, and we speak righteousness. If we start saying the things that Jesus said about himself, we're going to be considered fools, or at least we'll be dangerous and domestic terrorists at worst. And have you heard those terms being used in our current politics? Domestic terrorists, because we follow Jesus? When you start saying, like, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the life, and no one is going to come to God, no one will experience eternal life except through that relationship, that friendship with Jesus, then that will not land well in this period of human history. It will be seen as arrogant and bigoted. It will be perceived as hostile to Canadian culture. And hateful. We must not betray our allegiance to Jesus by shrinking back from what is true. In both our actions and in our lifestyles, and with the words that we say. So let me encourage you in this way. That at the back part of verse 11, Jesus begins to say, hey, here's how we're going to make it. Hey, pay attention. Here's how we're going to get through this. The first thing is that yours is the kingdom. Right? Jesus said that yours is the kingdom. It's bookended from week one. Yours is the kingdom. So that means all of the goodness of the kingdom of God, the forgiveness, the cleansing, the freedom, the peace, the power, all of the blessings that come along, like the purpose in life, the authority that we carry, someone to lean on. All of that, that's good news if you're going to be persecuted. But he goes on and he says, hey, you belong to a long line of faithfulness. Jesus says that they persecuted the prophets who were before us. And any kind of persecution you experience or I experience, we're not the first ones experiencing this. We come from a line of faithful followers. And then the last thing that Jesus ends verse 11 with, after this beatitude, he says, great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. So when persecution comes in, like I said, it's coming in various degrees. It's not just going to be here, but we're seeing it come. It might just be, you know, a talking to at work for your posture towards this or that, or your belief or your refusal to do this or to do that. And in any of ways that persecution might come to you, we're to remember ours is the kingdom. Great is the reward in heaven. And we belong to a long line of faithful men and women who have endured and who have ultimately been counted victorious. If you read through the New Testament, Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time talking about the afterlife. So even in this, when he talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, he's primarily talking about now. But I think for him to talk about this, it implies the end. It implies in this last one, look, blessed are you because you found the kingdom now, and the worst they can do is kill you, because my kingdom is eternal. And just because your body's gone doesn't mean you're going to disappear and die. My kingdom is forever, and you belong to my kingdom. There is life after death. There is resurrection and life in my kingdom. So if you find yourself in a place where you're persecuted because of your faith, then church, that's good news. That's good news. This is great. Blessed. You are blessed because you're persecuted, because you get to come home, because you get to be in the kingdom of God. If you're persecuted for his name, then that is proof right there that you're a Jesus follower. Security in your faith. So as we close out this theme together, these Beatitudes, I want you to be confident. Like take what you've learned. Take what Jesus has said and be confident that God is forming these Beatitudes in you. I don't know where you are in your journey. Maybe you're here and you're just seeking. I got invited. I'm curious. Maybe you're one of those believers that said, well, yeah, I guess I believe, but I don't really know what I believe. Maybe you've moved into the next step where you're a follower. Where it's no longer about me and my preferences, but I will do whatever Jesus says. And maybe you've grown into that deep maturity and you're saying, no, it's no longer good enough that I believe. It's not enough that I'm a follower, but I want to disciple others. I don't know what stage of life you're in or what he's teaching you in the season, but you can be sure that if you allow Jesus, if you allow him, he will shape you into someone who is in desperate need and understands your need for him. Who's going to not only mourn their sin, but the state of the world, who understands how to restrain their own personal power that you have in order to serve God and not build your own kingdom, but build his. He's shaping you to hunger and thirst for right relationship. He's doing a profound and powerful work around the purity of your heart. And as we think of what it means to be peacemakers, God is going to use us in our neighborhood, at your workplace, and with your family and friends, and in your church here in this family to be peacemakers. And lastly, as we live out righteousness, as we do all of those things that he's growing us into, we will expect and see forms of persecution. And so I don't know exactly what the future holds for us. But here's what I would say to you here today. You were made. You were created. The whole reason you are here is for this moment. God has placed you here and now for his glory. And that's good. You can do this. I'm cheering you on. We will cheer you on together. We will do this together. I'm excited to be with you in this moment of human history. And here is the reason why. Because we're blessed. We're blessed with Jesus' presence in our lives. And I hope in this series you've seen that the reality, the bottom line reality of all these statements that Jesus said is something like this. You are blessed because the kingdom of God is available to you. It's found you. And in this kingdom, in this community, in this family, you have everything you will ever need. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we look at this. Persecution is something weird to think about. Those of us on the inside, we avoid it. Those on the outside are deterred away from our faith because of it. Jesus, why would we want to do something that will make our life more horrible? Why would it be worth us to invest time and effort and energy and money and passion and all of these things into something that you have declared will be a net negative? We will be persecuted. And God, I am so thankful that it's because you will be with us. That if we give everything to you, no matter what happens in life, you cannot be taken away. That we give everything to you, you will give us a new purpose, a new vision, new values, new reason for being alive. You will fuel us. You will change us into what we were created to be instead of what we've decided ourselves how we would do it. But God, your presence with us will change everything that we know about us. And it will be remarkably great. Not because we can do it. No. But because of your presence. Jesus, I'm reminded of the story in the Garden of Eden, where you made this perfect place. People didn't even have to work to get food. It just was produced from the ground. The Garden of Eden, this perfect, beautiful place. And then us as people have said, no, I want to choose my own destiny. I want to do it my way. I don't need you, God. I will do what's best for me in my sight. And since then, God, we've just destroyed everything. We've destroyed our own lives. We've struggled in our families, in our marriages, in our communities, and in the world. And then you saw us, and you said, no. I will make it better than it was before. Better than perfect. Better than the Garden of Eden. God, thank you for that. That you have promised us, and you are showing us and allowing us to live in your kingdom now, what will be better than it was before. What is better than before. So today, as a church congregation, corporately, we commit to you again. We say, Jesus, you are more than enough. We will depend on you. And if or if not persecution comes, how soon it is, God, today, give us the strength to go and share our story, to devote to you, to be willing to say, no matter what Canadian culture says, I know who Jesus is, and he is more than I can imagine. And that's who I will turn to. No matter what it costs. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for listening. If you are new to this whole idea, like maybe you've been sitting there for a couple weeks now and hearing what I'm saying, and it's foreign to you, please come talk to me afterwards. Talk to one of the other people in this church. I'm not the only one with the answers, and often I don't have them. We'll find them together. But please talk to someone, because you can't do this on your own. This is what the family of God is for, so we can do this together. Support and love each other. And if you're new to it, we want to share more to you, not just the little snippet today, the negative things we will face, but we also want to share the amazing, incredible things that Jesus can do. Amen? Amen. We've gone late today because we felt we would pray for the sick, so we're not going to close with our last discussion group. You are dismissed. Go enjoy lunch with your mother, or at least that phone call, because she needs to hear your blessing. And if you need prayer, if you didn't get a chance to come up afterwards, find someone to pray for you. That's what we're here for, to support, encourage each other.